What's up, everybody, and welcome in to the Backliners podcast, Aggro and Barracuda. As per usual, we're in a mood tonight, first and foremost. I can tell you that I've talked to Barra for all of 2 seconds, and I can tell you that we're in a bit of a mood.
Look, man, Destiny decided to just ruin her back, so she's been out of commission for quite some time.
You're telling me she did it on purpose, is what you're claiming.
Yeah, I think she's trying to take time off work, make me do all the chores around the house. Today, she had to get a doctor's note, and now she's on, like, muscle relaxers and all that fun stuff.
Dude, I hate being on muscle relaxers. They make me feel like, I don't know, I don't like the way they make me feel.
I've never taken them before, but my dad had to take them a lot for UPS, so.
Yeah, we had to take them after our car accident, and they sucked.
What do they do?
I'll give you one guess. Go ahead.
Oh, Destiny already did this, by the way. She said they just relax your muscles.
Okay, so you asked Destiny. She said...
I wanted to see if you had a different experience with them.
They just, like, relax your muscles, but, like, they... I don't know. I feel like whenever I was on muscle relaxants, I, like... My body just didn't feel right. Like... I don't know.
And that's different than relaxing your muscles, you goof.
Yes, right. It does, but that's what it does. It also relaxes your muscles. It does both. There's no arguing with that.
Does this affect you, like, mentally or something, or what?
I don't remember, man. My mental's been affected just in general. I'm feeling a little bit under the weather as well. I think it's just a little bit of the post-land catch-up as usually happens, so... I think we're going to have a bit of a shorter episode this week. Apologies to everyone out there, but sometimes they don't think it be like it is, but it do, you know?
I don't know what you just said, but yeah, we both need a shorter episode today, honestly.
Yes, so that's the way it's got to be. We apologize in advance. Before we get into it, want to let you guys know that if you missed last week's episode, the big news is that we've got some new... hot off the press technology coming through in order to help us bring the best interactive live AMA episodes possible. And that is going to be Sunday, November 10th, I believe, as I go to my phone calendar. The 14th, Sunday, November 14th. I didn't think the 10th was a Sunday. We're going to have a special episode where you'll still be able to watch live on Twitch or watch it on YouTube or listen on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whatever you listen on. But if you want to be involved and support the show, we will be selling tickets for you to be able to attend the show and ask us questions and be live on the air with us, which would be a lot of fun. And, I didn't mention this last week, but we're in the works of creating a exclusive Backliners NFT. So if you're into NFTs and that kind of stuff, you would get that with your ticket purchase, and get a little, moment in time from the show that you can call your
own. A little added bonus besides just being able to talk to us. You actually get something attainable from the show. Yeah.
You get both. Yep. That's you get a little bit of both. So I think tickets will be going on sale starting either end of this week or early next week, but we'll have more information on that on next week's show. But again, mark it on your calendars. November 14th, a special AMA episode with some real interaction from the Backliners fans, which should be really cool. So we're very much looking forward to that. All right, let's get into
it
then.
Please don't troll us.
I'll come to your house, but not in a way you'll like. Wait, that sounds worse.
Okay, no.
Okay, man. Awesome. Let's talk about the SEC.
Why the episode has to be short.
Yeah, that's why the episode has to be short, bro. My brain is just not working. SEC playoffs happen this weekend. It all felt like a fever dream, to be honest, because how do I get through this? I got to get through it somehow.
Okay.
All of those SEC teams are filled with really good players. They're really good players, and I respect them as players and as teams. However, having to break down some of those drafts...
Oh, yeah.
Stretched me thin a little bit, you know? I used a lot. I had to really fire up the old hamster upstairs. You know what I mean?
Oh, that's That's why it's all out of gas today.
Yeah, that's why it's all out of gas today. That's right.
Oh, you're
they do some nonsense, to paraphrase what Percy said in the chat. I agree with that. However, it does make it really fun to watch. It was a really fun land. It was really cool to see everyone. But yeah, Barra, what are some of your, before we go into like specifics, what were your takeaways from watching the SEC land?
They have a completely different meta of Smite than we do, I will say. I didn't watch a lot of the EU games, but the NA games were very scrappy, very aggressive, especially in duo lane, I will say. I think kind of every NA duo lane seemed to just be like full smork mode at each other.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we don't care if the jungler's here, like, we will be fighting you and you will be reacting to our aggression.
To quote Meerkat, if I die, I die. And yeah, that's the way they play.
And it was very, very fun to watch. I think we'll see how they do against the SPL teams if they maintain that level of aggression and kind of some. It becomes scripted over a while what they're going to be doing. So we'll see if they are able to maintain those strategies.
Yeah.
And then just some of the drafts were very off the wall, like especially when they have like three gods in their top three that can go in like three different roles.
Yeah.
Just based off of their players, like, it was very confusing. And I felt the same way you guys did on the desk. I was just like, I can't break this down. I don't know where they're going. They could literally put this anywhere. Like, I think it was when they did, when Baskin's team did like Nox and Eset. I was like,
oh God, was that draft bad? Oh, that draft is bad. There's no other word for it. Well, there are words for it, but they're all worse than bad.
Yeah, it was special, you know, special draft.
It was really bad. Yeah, that draft was horrible.
And some of the plays that were happening, like when Nehu died to Baku level 1.
Bruh.
That is crack.
Bruh. Yeah, that was a rough moment for Nehu.
I got to watch it back when you guys did the, I guess, like, replay or whatever after the game. It didn't look as bad from his perspective.
Yeah, because he almost killed
die
him.
That way.
Ish.
Yeah, ish. And it's just entertaining to get your beads burnt by a Kabrakan level 1 only on a streamer and still die.
Yep. Yeah, that probably didn't feel great for him. Okay, I don't know, man. Here's the thing. here's the thing. I said it at the very end of the LAN, and I truly believe this to be true. We have seen SCC teams or minor league teams or whatever they were at the time. We saw Armada beat Rival, who was the best team in the league at that point, at a LAN with a degenerate draft. Erlong mid double chalice is what beat them game one. And then game two, they stomped him again. It can happen.
100%.
It can totally happen. However, the only way that it can happen is if they can drag these SPL teams down into the depths of Smite play, down in the mud, down into a 1400 MMR ranked game. You know, like that's what needs to happen in order for that style of Smite to be successful against players that are as good as SPL players. So I'm interested. I'm talking mostly about NA here because I think EU plays a much more traditional brand of Smite, and we'll talk about the teams in particular here in a minute, but it can certainly work. You know, I think that stuff like the problem that these teams will have is that they're going to be going up against, at the placement rounds, they're going up against better teams. I don't know how much good practice they'll be able to get, because these SEC teams that have lost, they probably won't scrim. Their season's done. Why would they be scrimming? And you don't want to just be scrimming against just the other SEC team, because you'll create a little mini meta that won't be indicative of what you're going to see at the LAN. And how many SPL teams are going to be willing to scrim you leading up to that event? So I think it's a really big uphill battle for those SEC teams, even more than it looks on paper. And teams are going to be ready for Wukong mid and Tsukuyomi mid in the case of the Winter Dogs And for the other, and for sleekness, you know, they play a little bit more traditionally, but still, Quig's picks, people are going to be ready for a little bit more so than they were at this LAN. So, I don't know. I mean, obviously, I'm very excited to see them play at the placements. But I am curious as to, you know, what their practice leading up to that event is really going to look like.
I think maybe they will scrim a few SPL teams here and there, because you can kind of help out the SEC team on the other side of the group stage or whatever.
I guess that is, I guess that is a good thing to do for your chances, is to have the SEC team win, theoretically.
Yeah, I don't know if that's something SPL teams would want to do, or if you could just, like you said, just lock them out into their own little mini meta.
Okay, Bear, but how about this? Tell me, say, hey, Ven, you know, Winter Dogs are on the other side of the bracket, theoretically.
Ven won't. No shot, Ven won't.
Ven, let's play. We're scrimming Winter Dogs today. And he's going to be like, okay, man, you guys are going to load in. Benny's going to be on chalk mid. And what is Ven going to say to that, huh?
Redraft?
Okay, you guys redraft. He's on Wukong mid. What's he going to say to that?
He's got to run out of picks eventually, right?
We're going to ban them all. That's the thing, man. You can't ban out Benny Q. He's got too many of them. Kobrakin, Chalk, Wukong, Set, Tsukiyomi.
Oh, yeah.
Chalk.
That was like five. Yeah,
you can't ban them all.
Well, I guess we're just screwed then. Actually, well, I mean, that's just Vin's loss, right? He's not going to practice, but the rest of us will.
Oh, he'll get some practice. He'll get some practice.
Mental practice.
That's right.
Straight to the DS1 queues. Oh, did you want to go over, like, for this episode, did you want to go over, like, each SEC match?
Yeah.
Or you just want to go over, like...
No, let's go over the teams. Let's go over, I mean, you said you mostly watch NA, so we can kind of go over all four NA teams, and then maybe a little bit, we should definitely talk about the EU guys as well, because they had a pretty fun LAN as well. We'll start in NA, though, and we'll talk first about the team who won, I suppose. Let's talk about Sleekness. I thought this team was not going to do well at all, to be completely honest with you, because go ahead.
Which teams had subs?
The Hoofs had Cope instead of Mask. Winter Dogs had Sybil instead of Gamma. And Artisans had Krim instead of Pagon.
Oh, so every team had a sub? Except for Sleekness.
I believe that is true.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure that's right. Yeah, even with that, I didn't think they were going to win. This team did not, you know, they beat the Hoofs, they beat the Artisans, they beat the Winter Dogs, or maybe they didn't beat the Artisans, they beat the Winter Dogs and the Hoofs, the top two seeds during the regular season. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, whatever, it's regular season play, you know. All these guys are LAN rookies. I was not a believer in their duo LAN of Quig and Dudeman Bro 429. What happened to him, man? When he joined that team, and first started playing with them, he was horrible. Horrible. And I said as much to him, so I don't feel bad saying it on a podcast. He was sprinting it down in their games. And
wait,
he comes to LAN. No, like, inting every lane.
Okay, nice.
He comes to LAN, and he's nasty. He's sick.
Did he change Godpool?
No.
He was smorking like the... Oh, he just... He's an Izanami one trick.
So that everyone started banning the Iza. Then he would go to Hachi, and he would smurf on him with Hachi. And then he did the dupid, as he called it, as the third pick. It was crazy. Dude, he played... Bera, no offense to you. I watched him play Hachiman, okay? He gets trapped by a Yumoja wall.
Uh-huh.
I think he played it better than you would have. I think you would have died in that Yumoja wall. Dude, man, bro.
You know, I actually remember watching that, and I was like, why didn't anyone do damage to him?
He's like, moving on him.
He double relic then ulted out, and I was like, how does he stay in a Yumoja ult and double relic and not die? I was like, where's the damage?
That's what I'm saying, bro. He was untouchable.
He danced at the end of the, or at the, like, edge of the Yumoja. I thought he was going to, like, ult out and panic. And then he just like stood his ground, double relic, ulted out, and I was like, yeah.
He played it perfectly. He's a beast.
Yeah, he did.
I don't get it. How did it happen?
I have a lot of I don't know. I have a lot of respect for how he plays because he's full smorks team fights, but somehow gets away with it.
Dude, he flanked as Hachi and lived.
And then killed Wowie.
Yeah.
And he died.
No, I think he lived through that fight. The one by fire is the one I'm thinking of.
Pretty sure he died.
Oh, maybe he died.
Pretty sure
he
traded him for Wowie.
Whatever. That fight looked like a lost fight for them until he like absolutely smurfed it. I don't know, man. He turned up.
He's crazy. Him and Quig together are a very aggressive style duo lane and very, very fun to watch, I will say.
Yeah. No, they played really well. I thought they won a lot of their games through duo. It was a lot of games through duo and a lot of games through Oath. I think Oath is legit, man. I don't know. I think that even on the other teams, you know, that's the one guy that did not surprise me with him popping off. I think he's going to be a top of the SEC jungler until it's time for him to potentially get a shot at SPL. Cause I think he's really, really good.
Yep. I mean, I've been noticing him in ranked for a long time, and it's kind of funny. Even before I did a Salt tournament and I think he won it with like Paul and that crew. And before that, he was popping. And then the whole time of the Assault Room, he kept getting assassins, like, popping off the whole time. I was like, oh, this guy's actually legit. And then he just kept playing ranked and just looked really good every time I saw him in ranked games.
Yep. That guy's super good for sure. And Nehu and Chronic just, like, did their jobs. And that's what you need to do to win games. You know, definitely not a slight at them at all. All right, Winter Dogs, I mean... I'll let you take the lead on these.
I think Aqua looked really good. Sybil was kind of hit or miss, depending on the games. I feel like some games he would hard carry and other games he wouldn't really have much of an impact.
Yep.
Kind of same for Wowie. I think Wowie was on the kind of the worst end of it. I'm not really sure if it was like his team not playing around him, or pretty just couldn't get out damage in fights, or what it was.
Yeah.
And then Vinny. Vinny would int a lot in mid, like die early, and then sometimes hard carry, and then sometimes not make an impact.
I feel like that's the nature of the gods he was playing, right? Like,
yeah, agreed. I mean, it's very like a feast or famine play style, in my opinion.
Yep, you have to. You're either popping or doing nothing on Assassin's mid. And to his credit, he popped more than he did nothing. Here, I know Benny's in the chat, so I don't feel like I'm talking behind his back so much. Here's the thing that I don't really understand though is that I think Benny's a really good mage player. Like,
especially when I see him playing ranked, I'm like, oh, this guy's sick.
Yeah,
and then, like it came to land, I was like, oh, he's gonna play some mages. No, it's
he
top
played like two.
Suki. Yeah.
And look, you know, I know that that's the play style they were going for. And I think that there's a way to structure those drafts to give them, like, getting Benny's God low in the draft or, you know, making sure that Kirmi is ready to play Tsukiyomi and Set. And, you know, that you know, Aqua is only playing Guardians, but if they can find a way to start flexing these, like, Wukongs and that kind of stuff to solo, and then giving them that flex, like, that team would be so hard to draft against if they had that threat of we're not top-2ing our solo laner every game, even though, like, if it's Cthulhu, whatever, or I guess, but I don't know. I feel like they could really go with some flexibility there.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/BlueWire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
Well, I think Aqua's so good on those picks, like the Serb and Cthulhu, that I, in my opinion, giving him the Wukong would be bad right now, because I don't think
Wukong's it's not really the meta, for sure.
Too great.
Just sign it with Wukong jungle forehead.
nope. That's not. I have respect for their playstyle, but it's, it, like I said, very feast or famine. I think Kirmi looked really good sometimes, and then late game, he would have, like, a lot of random deaths or, like, random trades. Like, even if he had Fire Giant, he would go for, like, an all-in play.
Yep.
And I wouldn't say it's, like, sloppy, but it's very, like, 50-50 whether that play works out or not.
Yep.
And, yeah, overall, I would say their team just looked very scrappy and very feast or famine, like, across the board.
Yeah, everyone. I mean, their playstyle was a lot of fun to watch, and I think that if they can become this, you know, there's not a lot of time before placements, but if they can become this dual threat-esque team where they have the capability to gun you down early with, like, Wukong mid or play, like, a patient scaling style with, like, Merlin, that they could be really hard to draft against. But their current strategy can work. Going off what you said, though, I think that nearly every game the Winter Dogs really struggled. Their duo really had tough times in laning phases.
Yeah.
And I was talking to someone after the LAN. I think it might have been Mifflin or something like that. And I was like, yeah, you know, I can't wait to see the Winter Dogs. Like, these SPL mids are not going to be ready to get, like, a Wukong shoved down their throat level 2. Like, they just won't be ready for it, maybe. But think, like, let's take your team, for example. Benny and Kirmi can kill Ven all they want. You and Jake, if their duo plays that way, like, it won't even be a game. Like, you guys will dominate them in duo so hard. And that's the area that I think they need to work on. So before the placement stage is, like, working around how to, whether it's picks or playstyle or the way they're playing the map or whatever it is.
To me, it's kind of like my team last year where it was kind of like, if me and Jake get going, we will pop off and hard carry. But if me and Jake don't get going, our team is very readable. And I think right now, you in this version of Smite, I think you need to be multifaceted.
Yes.
And have several different win cons in your players.
Agreed. But Aqua's a win con. Benny can be a win con. Mm-hmm. Kirmi can be a win con.
Dude,
they've got those.
Aqua really impressed me. I agree. I'm an Aqua fanboy.
Me too. Love Aqua. Beast player. Absolutely nuts mechanics. But you want to know why I actually think he popped off so hard?
Why?
I think it was actually Kirmi. Because I think Kirmi, like, inted at the beginning of every fight intentionally. Kirmi played Initiator out of jungle. And so Aqua didn't have to. And so Aqua could come in and play cleanup, which, as we've talked about in the past, is what Aqua wants to be doing. Aqua is not the type of solo laner to get in there and start fights for you. He wants to end them. I think Kirmi did a really good job, and Benny, for that matter, and in setting up for both of them to let Aqua kind of be that, like, cleanup crew kind of guy. I think that their right side of the map was working really well together.
Agreed. What team's next? We were talking about Baskin's team, I guess.
Yeah, Hoofs. The Herculean Hoofs.
I think they kind of had the same problem. I think they're dueling. I think Snoopy looked pretty weak all weekend.
Yeah, he either, like, hard carried or did. He got, to be fair to him, he got the treatment from.
Yeah, he.
From
he got the vote treatment.
Dude, he got the vote treatment hard. Like, he was getting camped and he was not playing around it particularly well.
Yeah.
But he was getting the absolute treatment. I thought that this sub was the most noticeable to how they played the game. And, you know, Cope had a lot of really good games. And then Cope had some games where he just couldn't do anything. And that's been Cope's play style his whole career. Like, that's just, that's who he is as a player.
I think Mask is a pretty hard player to replace calm-wise and playstyle-wise.
Yep.
He just has a very special way of influencing the map and forcing you to play around that, and also getting his boys to like make a certain play.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, I assume Baskin had to step up a lot for comms and playmaking, and he might not have been used to it, or I'm not sure what happened from the outside, but I know Mask is a player, and
Yeah, Mask is the primary shot caller for that team and for any team he's ever been on. That's just who he is as a player, and he's really, really good at it. So, you know, I think that it's very fair to say that that team underperformed, but I don't think it was them just messing up. I think teams just put them in difficult spots, and they did not do a good job of reacting to those spots.
I also feel like Baskin... Like, okay, for like a metaphor, I feel like they were like drowning and the Baskin like kept trying to like pick everybody up. And it was just like, okay, I think Baskin played really well. And I don't want to sound like rude, but I just feel like there wasn't anyone else making the same amount of plays that Baskin was making. And no one else was really trying to like pull the game back in their favor as much as Baskin was.
But I mean... Baskin was obviously playing the best on that team by a country mile. And that's the Baskin the boys experience, you know. That's usually what you get sometimes with Baskin on your squad. For the Sturdy Artisans, this team, it felt like a lot of dual lanes really like struggled in this LAN. I was kind of surprised at Griffin Ionic. They had the same thing. They either absolutely popped and carried. I thought Griff had a really good LAN for the most part. I thought he played really well. But sometimes they just fell really far behind in duo. Sino's picks, obviously, you know. The Assassin Tab's good. We should probably use it.
Yeah, I think the Slapping Items are pretty good right now, actually.
Yeah, I mean, look, Scotty builds them, so you got that going for you.
Wait, he played Scotty?
He sure did. He played a Scotty jungle game. Oh.
Okay, one second. I got to change on my headset better. You can go on a rant real quick.
Yeah, oh, about Scotty jungle? I'd be happy to. No, I don't know. I think that this team... I thought that not having Pagan was pretty noticeable for them as well, just in terms of how they wanted to play the map and that kind of stuff. Sino and Relentless won... didn't seem to be as synced on their dives as they typically are, and I don't know if, you know, I don't know how much of a factor Pagan is in their comms and that kind of stuff, but it just didn't feel like they were ever really on the same page, both in the drafting phase and in like how they actually played the map. I don't know, that team, like, I couldn't even tell what was going on. Like what was super wrong with them, because they just weren't playing anywhere near what they normally play. Not even like quality wise all the time, but just like, I don't know, the way they played the map. It just seemed all very frantic.
I don't honestly really remember any of their games. Did they lose like 0-4?
No, they lost 2-1 to the Hoofs and then 2-1 to Winter Dogs, I believe.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, so they won 2 out of their 6 games. All right, now to move over to Europe. How much of the European LAN did you watch here, Barry?
I watched a fair bit. I missed the finals, but I saw the ending of the finals.
Okay. The finals were
around that time. Yeah, I think it was like a 3-0, right? Or like
a very swift
one free game from winner's bracket and then like a 2-0.
Yes.
I remember Rapio getting 2 Pintas stolen.
Absolutely criminal. Absolutely criminal.
Pretty troll, but the one under tier 2, understandably. I think he lost it to like a mystical proc or like a bluestone tick or something.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's fine. But the Gev knockup, you know, that Thanatos is catching that guy.
Did you watch that game live, by the way, that Thanatos game?
I don't remember honestly.
Okay, let me explain to you what happened in that game.
Okay,
Rapio was playing Thanatos, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
He did not hit an enemy god until 15 minutes into that game. He had zero player damage until like past 15 minutes. He then comes into a fight, does 3k damage in one fight, which is like a lot, gets a double kill, then does not hit another enemy god until he pentakills them.
That's kind of crazy.
He was involved in two fights that game, which is
crazy.
And look, I think Rapio is a legitimately really good player. I have a lot of respect for him as a player. But here's the thing. I saw him tweet afterwards. I knew we'd win late game.
Oh, I saw that tweet too, yeah.
I knew we'd win late game. I think it was right for me to not hit anyone for 15 minutes of Thanatos. I'm here to say that can't be right. It can't be. It's not possible. There's no world in which there were no opportunities to poke someone out of lane. When you were there sharing a mid wave, you couldn't have tossed a little Death Scythe over there. Coast, your comp might have been OP, man. Your comp couldn't have benefited from...
Those are OP, and their junglers still do damage.
What?
I've drafted some strong comps before, and I think if my team ever said, don't worry, guys, we'll fight at 15 minutes, I've already lost the game. I
hit someone, man! You're Thanatos! What?
Look, man, EU just plays differently, man. It's just a different
No, the rest of them were fighting! That's the crazy part. It's not like no one was fighting ever. It's that he wasn't.
Look, man, there's no opportunities. I'm just trying to, you know, I'm just trying.
You're trying to rile me up and it's working, Barry.
No, I'm not trying to rile you up. I'm trying to save him.
Yeah, no, look, like I said, he won the game. He got a pentakill, basically. He's a great player. I have a lot of respect for him. He should have hit someone in the first 15 minutes of the game. That's all I'm saying. Both of my statements can be true, right? He can be a really good player and should have hit someone, right?
Yeah.
All right.
I completely agree.
Okay, great. Now we're all on the same page. Let's talk about that team first then. Kha'Zix Fan Club. Rapio and Coast, obviously the two players that we talk about a lot because of their competitive history. But Gunter in the mid lane, really good. Calvin, I don't know, maybe Coast can shed some light in the chat as to why he is no longer on Team Joystick, because I thought he was really good on that team, but got replaced by iSilenced, and so joined this team, and I think Calvin has really impressed me, even though I didn't really know his name before this phase. Maybe that's my fault, but maybe it isn't. And then you've got Bevy Monster over there in the solo lane, which is a name that makes me laugh, so we've got that, and he's pretty good. This team, they impressed me. Apparently Ko said they wanted Silence back ever since he left. By the eye test, I think Calvin's better than iSilenced, but I didn't watch that much. But Calvin impressed me more, so lucky for you, Coast. That's all I got to say. What were your impressions from watching this team, Barry?
Honestly, I don't really remember their games.
Okay, great.
Like I said, I remember mostly the NA games, but I don't remember a lot of the EU games, unfortunately.
I think this team... I
remember Coast popping off and me having a lot of respect for Coast, and then Rapio making
crazy plays. I watched earlier today Coast absolutely running you in some NA ranked.
Yeah, he runs me nonstop, dude. He's sick.
He is sick.
Yeah.
All right, we're on the same page. There you go.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing I can do. He's Coast.
He's Coast. That's all there is to it.
And then he accused of adapting, and adapting goes Bancroft, Sunfall, Alqual. And that's the crit. And then he goes Mantle, 6 item.
You killing that guy or what?
No, you're riling me up right now.
All right, perfect. Now, and I forgot.
Talking about my ranked games on stream.
And now it's
disgusting.
And now the podcast is blind because we've gone eye for an eye. Yeah, I think this Kha'Zix Fan Club team is pretty good. I mean, I think they came in with a very cohesive game plan. And I think that a lot of teams, even SPL teams at times, struggle with that. And so I always personally like to see whenever a team knows how they want to play the map and knows their win condition and all that kind of stuff. And even in the games, you know, a lot of games I thought that they were drafting to play around duo, and then something would go wrong in duo and they wouldn't be able to play around there anymore. And they were still able to, kind of adjust their game plan accordingly, which is also something that takes time to learn for a lot of teams. So I don't know, man. I mean, obviously they've got an uphill battle playing from EU, but I think these guys are talented, and I think they want it a lot. And they if they come in and play really well, they could probably make some noise. All right.
Yeah, close to the sick Uller. Sorry, I'm going back so I can actually remember the games. But he did pop off in the Uller game. Yeah, I really don't remember these games. I'm clicking through my VOD, and I just... Yep, nothing. I remember yelling at Ekrom for picking Chernabog and then not building crit. I was not happy with that. I don't understand why you wouldn't go crit on Chernabog, because, like, especially in a team at, like, and you have a Merlin, you can force them to buy Spectral. You know, they'll be sad. Your Merlin's going to pog off then, but then you build full team fight and doesn't make sense.
Doesn't make sense. And that's why they went off. That's all there is to it. On the other side, the other team that qualified, Elysium. I mean, I don't know. We talked about this team winning all the time. I'm sick of talking about how much better they are because they are just better. Adapting just like jungle gaps everyone routinely. Even players who are really good, like Rapio, you're up against Kennet. Like, if Kennet has one of his good games, you have to really try hard to get him on a pick that he's not going to own you with, and then you got to take him out of the game. And SPL teams tried to do that for literally like 5 years and failed routinely. So it's just going to happen to you. I don't know what else to say.
He's a very, very, very hard player to shut down. And if you do try to shut him down, he just gets angry. And you don't want him to get angry.
Yeah.
So I think he's literally just smurfing.
Yeah, I don't know. He's just owning in team fights. Angry's really good, Terror M's really good, Spudio and Trix are a really good duo lane. Like, this team has legitimately no holes. I don't know. I think that they're gonna be a team that, like, if teams don't prep for them and the way they play and how they pick, if teams like if an SPL team doesn't respect that team and just gives them everything they want, they'll lose.
Yep.
I think they will lose to that team. Now, if they do their homework, they should beat them. But if they don't do their homework, they will lose.
I mean, every SPL team should be doing their homework on all the SEC teams, because the SEC teams, when they play against you, have nothing to lose. So they'll be playing very confidently because they are not expected to win anyway. So if you go in unexpected, kind of like what Rival did back in the day against Meerkat's team, like, you gave them an inch and then they took literally everything. So,
yep.
I think especially right now with how skilled everyone is in Smite, you can't be doing that.
Diono, I don't know. I'm sorry, but I botched that. Could that team just become an SPL team and perform well from Europe? No. I think they would struggle in a similar way to the Valkyries. If they were in NA, maybe. I think that overall, you know, they could do well in SPL, but as good as Terrorem, Angry, and Spudio have looked against SEC level talent, it's really hard to say how they would do up against SPL level talent. Spudio has played in the SPL before, didn't do that well, but was in a rough situation where his support was playing like Apollo. So that wasn't easy. That was when Dardez was playing. Like Hunters. Dude, I remember being like, they just want Spudio to fail. It blew my mind. I couldn't believe what I was watching. He was just so host in those games. There was no way he could have done anything.
It's both this year. Just throw him on an island and just hope he does well.
Bro, I'm sure Spudio would have rather been on an island than have Dardez on Apollo in his lane taking all of his farm. That would have been better for him. But that was years ago, and Spudio, I'm sure, has become a better player since then, in addition to all of his competitive experience. So it's hard to say, but I think from Europe, it isn't fair to say that they would automatically be better than the Valkyries, because I don't know if they would be.
I think at the beginning, like, if they played right now, they might be better, but I think it's different when, like, Valk's been playing on EU ping all year, and mentally that has strongly affected them, so they might be better than Valk's, like, right now, just mental-wise. But I think at the beginning of the year, if they played all year, I think they'd be in the same, like, mental spot that Valk's in.
Yeah.
Which does sound lucky. Yeah, it is what it is.
All right, I've done the mental math, and I think the Valks would be better, but...
Oh, nice. Honestly, good math.
Thank you. Well, I just went roll by roll.
Oh, okay.
And in my opinion, the Valks would be a little bit better. But maybe not, you know? That's a lot of assumptions, so who knows? I'm excited to see them play. That's what we can leave it at, because it's impossible to say otherwise. All right, with that... wow, short episode here, Barry. We still got a topic to go over, and it's 45 minutes.
You just kept talking, bro. What am I
That's what I do, man. That's all I do. That's literally what I'm paid to do all the time.
You talked about every NA team for like 5 minutes each.
Sorry, Barry.
You
wanted to skip our last topic?
I went back in my VOD, and I watched like one set, one of you.
There you go. That's all you need. All right, real quick. New map.
Okay.
How impactful has it been in scrims and that kind of stuff? How big of a deal do you think like this mist stuff is?
I think honestly it's gonna sound kind of stupid and cringy, but like every day I think people use the mist more than the day before.
Mm.
Like I feel like when it first came out, no one was using it at all, and now I think people are occasionally using it. There's one time in a ranked game, I popped a lantern and then stood behind the wall, and this person like kept running through the snow trying to find me. They're like auto attacking in every direction. So you know, you can make like little bait plays with it and do like cute stuff. But I think when group stage comes around, it will be pretty impactful. I think on land it will be more impactful as well. Like I'm trying to check Fire Giant, you see the lantern pop, and you're like, you don't really want to face check through that because they can be hiding anywhere. And also, for some reason, it just makes people play weird. I think people have been playing weird since it came out. I don't know why. It just seems like people have been lost. And then in scrims, my team doesn't know which side of the map to go to. You know, for some reason,
what?
Duo lane looks like solo lane. Solo looks like duo lane. Jake and Haddox were running to the wrong side of the map. I almost ran to the wrong side of the map. I don't know why, but people are doing that.
Weird.
Yeah, I like the idea of the mist, but it's going to be very scary on LAN, I will say.
Mm. That's going to be awesome.
And also, I don't know why people played so differently now. Like, I swear, people play so weird now.
Yeah.
Because the map's different.
I'm excited for mist plays on LAN, dude. I'm gonna be whispering when someone's hiding in the mist. I'm gonna blow someone's eardrums out whenever I yell that they get scared.
People on my team, whenever setting up an ambush, people will whisper. Like the enemy team, like even if we're scrimming, if we're like setting up an ambush, Ben will be like, get here, be quiet. Like, like they can't hear our comms. We're scrimming.
That's really funny.
I'm sure people are going to do that on land, too.
Yeah.
But overall, I like the changes and the art style. I think it's beautiful. I'm not even saying that because, like, I love Smite, but I genuinely think it's a really pretty map and well done.
We love to hear it. All right, that'll do it then. Oh, we got to do our random question of the week. Oh, God. Okay. I actually thought of one. I don't know if we've done this one before or not. I feel like we've done everything ever under the sun. And that's why we need you to buy tickets to our live show on Sunday, November 14th, so you can ask your questions live that we haven't asked in the past, or that we have asked but are willing to answer again. Whenever you're feeling a little under the weather, Barry, what were some old remedies that your parents would give you back in the day that you still crave to this day whenever you feel a little sick?
I will say my favorite over everything is butter and cinnamon on toast.
Dude, no way. I eat that one even when I'm not feeling, when I'm feeling fine. I made that recently for Sam, because he had never heard of it. It's cinnamon sugar, right? You do.
Cinnamon sugar, right.
I made that for Sam, because he had never had it. I made it for... who else did I make it for? I don't remember. Another player who was over, they had never had it, so I made some for them. It bangs.
Yeah, it's perfect.
It's such a good snack, man. It's such a good late night, like, treat.
And also, kind of a lower tier for me, but I don't know why, but, like,
kind of just simple rice with like butter and salt and pepper on it. If I'm just like, if my stomach's like feeling weird, it's a very soothing, enjoyable. I don't even know if it's a snack, but it just feels good. It makes me feel happy.
No, that's legit. Buttered rice, clean. Farrah, you, this was a good episode for you as far as the comments go.
You
were on point, buddy. Whenever I'm not feeling well, I always crave ginger ale. Because that's what my dad would always give me whenever I was feeling sick. I would always get some ginger ale to help calm my stomach.
That is literally destiny. Like, every time her stomach ever hurts, John, can we get some ginger ale? John, please, go to the store and give me some ginger ale.
I'm going to the store and get some ginger ale. My stomach doesn't even hurt. It's like, but I'm going to the store and getting some ginger ale after this. That's what I've decided.
It's delicious.
It's so good. And also, look, this is the most, like, cliche answer of all time, but a nice warm soup really does make you feel better. A good soup, that'll help you out.
Destiny was telling me the other day that, like, chicken noodle soup has, like, been proven to, like, make you feel better or something.
Mm.
I don't know if it was feel better, like, mentally or feel better, like, physically with whatever's ailing you. But yeah, it was, like, actual, like, soothing effects to chicken noodle soup.
There you go. Oh, this is a key question in chat. Schweppes or Canada Dry?
Schweppes for me.
I think I'm Schweppes as well. Yeah, they're both good, but I think I'm Team Schweppes. That's where I'm at.
It's Schweppes like 55-45.
Hit us
please.
Up.
Please.
What?
Said please, make our tummies feel better.
I know, make our tummies feel better. We'll push your products. Speaking of pushing products, we don't have any title sponsors for this episode, but want to remind you guys, of course, about heading over to manscaped.com/back for 20% off plus free shipping and mintmobile.com/backliners. You can get your monthly bill down to a much more reasonable point with Mint Mobile. So make sure you're checking them out. And of course, IPVanish with IPVanish.com/back. You can get your VPN for the year for what? $64.99 a year? That's crazy. Mm-hmm. That's the play. So make sure you're doing that. Shout outs to all three of those companies for helping sponsor the podcast. So make sure you're checking them out. Again, we'll be tweeting it out and talking about it next week on the podcast. But Sunday, November 14th, we'll be doing our first new edition of the live AMA where you can get involved and join the show and let your voice be heard. Really good way to support the podcast would be to do that. So if you guys are big fans, you can be a part of the show and get a little NFT to remember your time with. Barry, you're gonna say something?
Do you know when the games start? Oh, they start at 11. Okay.
Yeah, they start at 11.
Because I have a game Sunday, second one, so I assume I'll be back for the podcast.
Yeah. Or, Barry, we could, like, do the show together in person somewhere.
Oh.
For that speciality episode.
Well, if we beat the Scarabs, you know, I'll okay. feel like all it. Right, right. If not, you know, I might be feeling a little angry.
Yeah, I don't want to get smacked talking about how the Scarabs smacked you. Am I right?
That'd be so sad, bro.
Oh. Am I right? All right. Thanks, everyone, for watching and listening to the podcast. We appreciate you all. Sorry for the bit of a shorter episode, though. It was 52 minutes, or not exactly 52.
Yeah, it wasn't
52.
Even a short episode.
Why are you complaining, chat? Get over it, okay? We're going to leave when we want to leave. We want to leave right now. Barra, tell them bye.
Bye.
That was too nice. Do it again, but meaner.
Bye.
Nice.